In a world where woodworking DVDs have been known to put people to sleep, two heroes emerge to shine a light of truth on your woodworking library. Welcome to Wood Talk Online Review Show.
On today's show, we're going to take a look at Build the 21st Century Workbench with Bob Lang. It's a single DVD running 56 minutes, and it's available for $19.99 at shopwoodworking.com. Now, remember, we analyzed the DVD on five attributes: entertainment value, production quality, information quality, overall value, and whether or not it keeps its promise. Now, today we did want to announce a different change, something we're going to do a little bit differently. We had discussed it, and the number system, while it can be informative for a show like this that doesn't take place all that often, it may not be the right thing for us. And I think the reason, Matt, and we just kind of discussed this off air a little bit, is that when you give a number system like that, you are not only rating the DVD itself on its own attributes, but it's implied that you're also going to compare that to your previous reviews so that everything is graded in a way on a scale.
Right.
And that brings with it a lot of problems because, number one, we have to go back and look at all of our old reviews to see how we graded those things, and then how does this compare to it? And then if something comes along that just knocks the scale one way or the other, either a really crappy DVD or a really great DVD, you really can't leave those numbers where they are. You actually should be going back and making adjustments. And who the heck wants to deal with that crap?
Exactly, because at some point or another, we have a ton of titles to be going through in the future here. And yeah, it's something that it won't be fair to the audience if we have to constantly keep adjusting it based on new things that are coming in or things that are going out, or suddenly we just realize that, I kind of saw it in a skewed way. So you're right. We need to kind of just really simplify this. And on top of it, how many times have you sat around with a friend and talked about a DVD that you liked, whether it was a woodworking DVD or whatever, and always gave it a scale?
Right, exactly. Yeah. Me and my wife talk about that all the time. We're like, so what did you think of Sherlock Holmes? Well, it was about a 2 out of 5. It's just not really the way we would want this to come across. And I think people get too hung up on those numbers instead of just listening to what we have to say about it. So this will be much more, it's really the same thing in terms of the show itself. We're going to talk about the different attributes. You'll be able to, infer from what we're talking about, what we think about it, and we'll sum it up for you. There just won't be this, I don't want to say it's an arbitrary number system, but in some cases when it's detached from other reviews we've done in the past, it can feel arbitrary and gives people a little bit, makes people think we put a little bit more thought into this than we actually did.
Yeah, we don't want to give a false impression of anything.
Yeah, I want to be fair about that. So, all right.
Yeah,
so,
and definitely it's going to be, everybody's going to get a little bit something different from each DVD. So mm-hmm. something that doesn't necessarily work for us is going to work amazing for somebody else. So tell them, our number means that they're wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just not a black and white thing. So
exactly.
All right. Well, with all that crap out of the way, Matt, if you could give them the description on the back of the DVD, we'll get rolling.
All right. On the back of the DVD for the Build the 21st Century Workbench with Bob Lang, it says, everything you need. An hour-long video details the bench construction process. 3D SketchUp model shows bench components from every angle. Complete printable construction drawings. PDF slideshow of entire construction process. Enhanced PDF of magazine article with step-by-step construction instruction. This new workbench from Robert W. Lang combines the best workholding devices and ideas from a number of historic bench forms, along with a few design twists of his own. Whether you use power tools or hand tools or both, this knockdown bench is perfectly suited for the modern workshop.
Mm-hmm. So in general, I'm curious, what did you think, just as a woodworker, what did you think of Bob Lang's bench design?
Well, to be quite honest with you, I actually like the overall size of the bench top itself. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I think that having that much space on there and having the versatility, I like the idea of having the trays down the center. And again, because a lot of times I have my tools on the bench and they're rolling around, so I like to have some place where I can put them or even place the tools that I most often use. Overall, I think the footprint of the bench is nice, but at the same time, though, after seeing a few people, some big name instructors and some not so big name instructors using the bench itself, I kind of now see that I don't know if I like the top so much, but overall, I wouldn't complain if this was in my shop.
Yeah, it's hard. When you put it that way, if someone else wants to do all the work, I gladly accept this bench.
Exactly. Yes. It's like, well, we'll bring it down the steps here, make the nice turn, put it in, and I'll make do if necessary.
Right. Yeah. I actually like the split top. Anyone who's paying attention to the stuff that I'm doing on the website right now knows that I'm in the middle of building the Benchcrafted split top Rubo. So conceptually, in terms of having, you know, the top split into two pieces, love it. I mean, that's the whole reason why my bench is being built that way as well. The tool tray trough is a little wide, and I guess if you're, you know, the I know I can talk here. It's just early.
And what coffee is that?
clearly not a strong enough brand. The gap that I've got in mind is just big enough to fit a clamp through it, a clamp out of a parallel clamp. His is certainly more of a traditional tool tray size. So it's a substantial gap there. And I'm wondering how difficult or how much of a problem that poses when flattening the bench top or, you know, definitely a bigger hole to drop things down if you don't have a tool tray in place at that particular spot. I can't say that's necessarily a flaw. It's just something to be aware of. The knockdown construction is good. I've seen a lot of just bench bolt construction for knockdown benches and things like that. And the dovetail system that Bob uses in this with the wedges is really, really cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, and it's very natural, you know, sort of woodworky, earthy sort of approach to it. And I can appreciate that.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. And that is something that I think is really neat because it also, to some degree, because there's many people that when they're building their bench, this is kind of a very, I'm going to incorporate all my things, kind of building up along with the idea of the earthy, I don't want to say zen, but I'm going to say zen kind of experience when you're building it. And I do think the way that it is designed and how it comes together gives the woodworker that feeling of accomplishment. It's not just utilitarian. Mm-hmm. You actually get to play with some really unique kind of fun joinery techniques. It all gets to come together and in the end you get something that works really, really nice for you.
Yeah, sure. All right, let's jump into the different categories. We'll start with entertainment value. You know, this is one that well, it's average, you know, in terms of entertainment. It doesn't do anything to, you know, go overboard for entertainment, and it doesn't necessarily put you to sleep. The one thing I would say is that Bob's voice, he's got sort of a Sam Elliott-esque thing going on, which might lull some people to sleep.
Right.
You know, if you're only half interested in the actual material, he does have that kind of deep voice that personally, I don't know, if I could choose a voice like anyone else's voice in this world to have, it would probably be Sam Elliott, and it would look really weird coming out of my mouth.
I tried to picture that just now, and I'm like, you know, no, I don't see it.
But I don't know why, that dude's got the coolest voice. So yeah, it just reminds me of that. And I think if you're just, you know how it is with woodworking DVDs, if you're not completely interested, anybody's DVD can put you to sleep. But if the person in particular has a deep voice, you know, there's not a whole lot of highs and lows in their voice or any particular excitement in their voice, it can lull you to sleep even more. But the cool thing is the information and the pacing is pretty decent, you know, so that if you're even slightly interested in what he's talking about, you're not going to have any problems. He delivers the information quickly enough and moves from one part of the project to the next, and you're definitely going to learn something.
Right. Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Bob knows a ton of information. He's a great guy to be able to go to, but he is not the liveliest person, especially in front of the camera. It's like, all right, Bob, got a pulse there? But at the same time, though, you're right. Entertainment-wise, it moved at a great pace. I had no problem whatsoever following along with what was happening on the screen. So that's a huge plus for me. Cool. Now, with the cons of this, I really don't have very many cons or really any significant con for the entertainment portion. Like I said, everything moves nicely.
Yeah.
The only thing I might have a problem with is, and I think this is going to go more into the information portion, but there's an extra chapter in the DVD, and it's about workbench design, and they bring in Chris Schwarz for this. I think entertainment wise, it could have been skipped. I didn't really see anything significant from it. Again, I didn't fall asleep during it, but at the same time, I could have easily passed over it.
Yeah, I we'll actually talk about that in a couple of the other areas. At least I have a couple points to say about those in the different categories too. So,
yeah, it definitely felt out of place. That's the only thing I can say about it, at least in the entertainment portion.
Sure, sure. And yeah, I guess let's move on to production quality. Okay. I don't have any cons in particular on entertainment value either. All right. Production quality. How about you take this one first?
Okay. Well, the pros of the production quality, I think to be quite honest with you, in my opinion, the recent crop of DVDs coming from popular woodworking, I think they're quickly making a name for themselves. Up to this point, really, the gold standard was Lee Nielsen and is Lee Nielsen. Mm-hmm. But it seems like a number of the titles coming from popular woodworking are really starting to step up. They're becoming, you know, match for match with Lee Nielsen. So that's one thing that I really like is the fact that we're getting a really nice quality DVD. I think the video, the audio work, they were all good. I had no major issues with lighting other than the occasional dark spot. But you know, it was something that easily, I think a camera angle could have easily taken care of that. Mm-hmm. In fact, quite honestly, again, kind of along the idea of the entertainment value, the production wise, it flowed very nicely. It was very easy to follow and there was no getting lost in any of it.
Cool. Yeah. To me, this is pretty standard fare from Pop Woodworking. We've reviewed a couple of their DVDs already, and this is really no exception. Of course, you know, my gripe about 4:3 versus 16:9, but I think with woodworking DVDs, I think I just need to give up. You know, it's like, I'll be happy if someone does it. If they don't, then that's just standard fare. So is what it is.
Well, you know, what's funny is I think by this point, everybody should know that when it comes to anything to do with actually watching the equipment that we're working on or watching it on, whether it's the 16:3 or anything like that, Mark will always be the one that has the nice high-end stuff. And I am the one that's still using rabbit ears with Reynolds wrap off the edge to try and get better reception.
So Matt's trying to watch it on a calculator watch. You
know? Exactly. I'm just happy when the vertical hold stays in place.
Right. Well, speaking of that, I was going to be a little bit picky about the audio, and
I'm glad you're saying something about this.
Yeah, there were numerous times when Bob's moving around, and because they put the mic on his apron and it rubs against his shirt, he does a little bit of movement and you hear it's like, you know, it's one of those things that grates on your nerves. The other thing, this goes back to the bench design discussion with Chris Schwarz was not mic'd during that entire segment. So you'll notice, number one, his voice sounds lower. And I guess if you have headphones on, you might not pick up on this as much. But if you're watching it on a television, it's really obvious. And then at a certain point, Chris goes to one side of the bench and Bob's on the other. You can barely hear him. It's really difficult to hear his voice because Bob's the only one with a microphone, which kind of gives you the impression that this might have been just an afterthought. Like, hey, come over and take a look at my bench. Let's talk about it. So if you're going to bring Chris in, figure out how to get him mic'd, you know, just to get some sort of microphone on him so we can hear exactly what he has to say. So I thought that was a little bit lame. But again, we'll get into the actual discussion itself because I actually did like that discussion, but that's in another category. Okay. So audio issues aside, overall, like you said, this is it was made in 2008. And have they made a lot of DVDs since then, or did they just batch a bunch of them out at that time?
There has been a couple of new titles that came out last year. Yeah. And Ron Herman's Saw Sharpening was the most recent one.
Okay.
So I think there's been a couple since this one originally came out. There's been a handful of them. But yeah, last year, I only think there was just a couple of titles that really came out.
I'd like to compare because, I mean, you know, 2008 was, you know, it's a couple years ago. So I'd like to see if there's been any changes in terms of just, you know, audio quality, video quality, stuff like that.
Oh, yes. And I am pretty sure we'll be able to compare those coming up soon. So we'll drop a line to make sure we get some of those so we can do that.
Yeah. Even when you were talking about Lee Nielsen being one of the better producers out there, their DVDs have dramatically changed. And on the next show, we're actually going to do a Lee Nielsen production. And it's one of the earlier ones. Dramatic difference between that and what they're producing now. So,
right.
Okay. Let's move on, unless you have anything else to add.
No, it was just that I totally agree with you about the audio distortion. There was a couple of times that I was starting to wonder if it was my headphones. And when I actually switched it to a different device, I'm like, nope, not headphones. It's actually going on in there. That's interesting.
All right. Information quality. This is always the biggie. So let's go through let's start out with the cons first.
Ooh, that's a nice way. We haven't done that before. Up a little bit. No.
All right, you want to go first on this one?
Sure. We'll see. What I have for my cons on the information portion. Let me make sure this the information. Yep. What I have here is at this point, I really don't have major cons worth mentioning, other than the fact that as I've alluded to, the whole chapter with Chris talking about the bench design.
Again, it
just felt like they kind of threw this in there. Like, you're right. Like, to me, I almost got the impression that he was walking through and said, "Nice bench, Bob." And then he's like, "Whoa, come back here." You know, that kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Which I don't think it really added anything to the building process of this particular bench, which that's really the majority of the disc is talking about how to build this, what goes into it, all these things. So I don't think it added anything to it. I think this is something that easily could have been bonus material, if you want to call it that, where they could have spent maybe a little bit more time with it or something. But yeah. Mycon, with throwing it into the actual building of the bench, it doesn't take away from it, but at the same time, I think it eats up valuable time that could have been maybe concentrated on some other aspect or just simply getting through the disc that much faster so you can get to the bonus footage.
Yeah, totally agree. I mean, that's exactly what I have down here too. For me, I think they could have just spent that time covering a few of the details that were skipped over. And this is my other con, is that there were a few things that just, they either fast forwarded to the finished product or glossed over, you know, what needs to be done to create this thing. I got a couple examples here. The wedge tenons in the legs before he covers them up with the outer leg. Mm-hmm. There was really no discussion of how to make the wedge tenons, how to cut the tenon so that it fits with the wedge and, you know, popping the wedge in there in place. They basically showed the finished joint and then he sawed off the, you know, the stuff that was sitting proud of the surface.
That's a good point.
Yeah, they never talked about that. Construction of the dovetail socket joint, the primary joint of the legs. He basically just said, you need to hog out the material with a dado blade and then I guess use a shoulder plane and chisels to clean it up. Well, that's a lot of work. That's a lot of things that you haven't shown us yet. I'd like to see that. That's a big portion of it. To counterbalance that, though, here's the other thing I should mention. Bench flattening. There was zero conversation about flattening the bench.
Yeah, the assumption was once it came out of the planer and you got everything together that somehow it was going to stay dead flat and you'd have to deal with that down the road.
Right, which of course it's not, and it probably still isn't dead flat right out of the planer. Here's the other thing. How about the milling part in the beginning of the DVD was great. I love when someone actually covers some of these more basic topics, makes it real, you know, beginner friendly.
Yep.
The problem is he used, you know, a 3-foot board to show the milling process and the lamination process. And then the next scene, we see his glued up benchtop.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you and I both know that milling a 3-foot board is very different than milling an 8-foot board. And gluing up two small boards is very different than gluing up, you know, a series of like 7 or 8 long 8-foot boards. So I kind of felt a little bit cheated in that sense where they could have just showed us the actual building process with those big pieces. I think that's where people are going to get hung up when they're building a bench. They're not going to get hung up on a 3-foot lamination.
That's very true. That is because it's something that a beginner who has, and it was nice that he has the typical tools that you would see in the shop.
Yeah.
But it's going to be something that somebody down the line, they're going to have the issue where they make the assumption that it's the same exact type of thing with a shorter board and a longer board. And then suddenly it's like, wow, why does my bench top look slightly potato chipped?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a different ball of wax when you're trying to joint an 8-foot long board. You need to take certain precautions and do things differently. The other thing that I wanted to say is, you know, despite those few things being glossed over, the extras on the DVD did a really good job of filling in those gaps. I don't know if you had a chance to look through the slideshows, but the mm-hmm. slideshows actually show pretty much all of those things that I just talked about. There's great images of Bob making that dovetail joint. There's images of him working with the wedge tenons. So, you know, if you want to do a little investigative work, you can go into the DVD-ROM, download all those pictures, and you can kind of get an idea and also read the article, of course, that's included, and get an idea for the things that they didn't cover in the video. But the trouble is they had the time to do it. They just mm-hmm. spent that time talking to Chris Schwarz instead of covering those extra details.
Right. Yeah, so that's a good point. Yeah. Or at least maybe even when those parts came up in the DVD, in the footage itself, mention the fact that you can find more information about this in the enhanced so that somebody knows where to go looking for them.
Mm-hmm.
Because in my situation, I probably more than likely would have been too lazy or just like forget that. I mean, I forget all the time a lot of times with these enhanced DVDs that they even have
that
extra stuff in there. And it's like one of those, oh, I got to go find my computer and load it up. Because when you're watching this on the DVD player, they don't come up on there, at least not my DVD player.
No, you need a computer to get access to this stuff. You know, that actually brings up a good point. During the editing, there's no reason why they couldn't have taken some of these high-res photos and put them into the footage as he's talking about those things that he kind of glossed over. You could have shown those exact same pictures in the video, you know,
right.
And just that would have given us at least a visual on what he actually did.
Yeah.
So, all right, enough with the cons, because there are a lot of pros to this production.
Yes, there are.
We just like to start out with the negative, like the punch in the face first before we lean over and give you a sweet little kiss.
That's right. We go to the anger first, and then we're like, whoa, we're so sorry.
I'm sorry. All right, so for the pros, I loved how he started out the video, and this is something that I do a lot just by necessity, and that's using the SketchUp drawing for a virtual tour of the entire project.
Right.
Yeah, that's a great way to start a project. You could flip it around, move it around, and he explains what he did, why he did it, and you get to see everything. So before you even cut any wood, you have a 3D image locked into your brain of what this thing is going to look like. So I thought that was fantastic. Basic milling and lamination review was nice to see. Didn't necessarily have to go through all those details. Like I said, I wish he would have used bigger pieces to do it, but at least we got that conversation in place and saw him do that. I'll let you take a few pros. I've got quite a few here.
Okay. Well, pretty much the ones you've hit are exactly the same thing. I love the fact that he did the milling ahead of time, because for the beginner, that it's a nice treat, because this is something, I mean, a workbench, it could be overwhelming. It's a huge project. One thing I also really liked is, let's see here. As you mentioned, the SketchUp drawings, I really like that. They help it out, because many times you could easily have the project and then you could just walk up there with the camera and go, now let's take a look at this aspect of it, and then go into the construction process where, as you said, with the SketchUp, you can break it apart. You can explode it and say, this is what we're going to do right in here.
Yeah.
That makes a huge difference. Absolutely. When being able to visualize what's going on. When it comes down to it, one thing I really liked with this is the fact that he started out, and I think we've talked about this in maybe a couple of the other bench DVDs that we reviewed. He started out building the bench top without having an actual bench. He put this up on some sawhorses, which for the beginning woodworker, this might be their first bench. Maybe up to this point, they've been working with sawhorses, or they've been working with some, you know, whatever it is that they have in place of a workbench. Having that visualization to see what is that, you know, that he did when building the bench before he had a bench, it makes it so much easier, because when you're actually building a bench on a bench, to some degree, it kind of defeats the purpose a little bit.
Yeah, no, good point. We brought that up with Schwarz's 18th century workbench and gave him credit for that. So good, real good point to bring that up.
Yeah. And really when it comes down to it, I think just that's one of the biggies for me, that between that, the SketchUp, and then just walking through the way he did with the mill up and moving forward, really, really just sealed it for me. I loved that information on here.
Cool. I've got quite a few more, so I'll just kind of rip through them real quick.
And I'm sure I'll agree with them. Or not.
Yes, I agree. He had a nice mix of hand and power tool usage. Mm-hmm. You know, there were times where he would maybe cut the shoulders with a handsaw, but then he goes to the bandsaw to cut the cheeks. You know, so it's not, you may not necessarily even do it that way, but it's nice to see his approach in using a good mix of both hand and power tools.
Absolutely.
He shows a couple different ways to make the big tenons, which is nice. He showed a method using the handsaw, and then he shows how to use the table saw to do it. The bench design discussion with Schwarz was definitely, for me, a welcome surprise. Like, I agree it might be something you would push into the extras category, but it was a break away from the project in a sense, to step away and kind of see Bob's human side to this. And what I mean is, instead of presenting this bench as if this is a fully realized dream and Bob knew exactly what he wanted from A to Z and this is how it is, whether you like it or not, Bob talks about his thought process with some of the vice locations, the dog hole locations, and just shows that he's thinking about this like everybody else thinks about it. And he's not 100% sure. And he's getting Chris's opinion on what he should do, which I love to see. It was just more of a human side to this project, and a nice break from the pace of your typical this is how you do it project.
Right.
He covered the Veritas twin screw installation, which is fairly complex. It is something you're going to need their instructions to do, but he did give quite a few tips and parts of the installation process. You wouldn't be able to necessarily just watch that and install based on that. You still need the instructions, but he went into a little bit more depth than most folks I've seen. They just kind of, usually that's one of those places where you go, well, check the manufacturer's instructions.
Exactly.
You know, yeah, you kind of cop out because someone else already did it. And the final thing is the documents. I really thought this was a thorough collection of DVD-ROM documents that you could go through. The original Pop Woodworking article, a functioning full SketchUp model, PDF drawings of the bench in all different angles, like almost traditional style plans with all of the details, and a whole mess of images showing you some of the things that they may have not necessarily covered. I guess these are probably images they took for the article, and maybe they just didn't make it into the final article. So the extras on the DVD I thought were fantastic.
Yeah, I have to admit that the extras themselves, I ended up pulling those off at one point. I set them on my bench, on my desktop, and that was one of those things I went into the folder later on, and I'm like, what's in here? And, oh my God, like it's a quite huge a folder. Yeah, it's just, you can spend a lot of time just going through those.
Sure.
And they definitely do. The pictures really do help to emphasize some of the things that are going on in there, which is going to be nice because occasionally there'll be something that maybe you just don't have the time to go back into the DVD itself to look for it. Mm-hmm. Chances are you might actually find it in the article or the pictures itself, a little bit easier to kind of go through. So
totally.
Yeah, that was definitely a nice touch. One thing I have to say with the information is, one thing I always kind of want to look at is, when I get done watching this DVD, do I think I can accomplish this? And I think the way that the information was laid out, the way that it flowed and everything, I have no doubt in my mind that I could do this. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing I really liked. One more thing I want to say about with the tools is, not only, as you mentioned, the used hand and power tools, but I like the fact that with the access that Popular Woodworking has in their shop to some good-sized pieces of equipment, he did keep it to the ones that are most likely going to be in a beginner's shop or just a home shop. And I think that's really important because it's so easy for a project like this to just get carried away with it, be like, we're now going to move over to the 36-inch planer.
Well, yeah, see, especially when he's at the joiner, you see there's like at least, I don't know exactly what it was, but it looked like at least 12-inch wide joiner behind him.
Yes.
You know, so it's like, yeah, they got some big tools over there.
Exactly.
All right. So overall value, Matt, this was $19.99.
Yep.
And, you know, it's packed with some extras. Do you think it holds to the value? I mean, is that too much for a simple project like this, or is that right in line with what we would expect?
You know, to be quite honest with you, I think given all the footage, all the bonus material, and the fact that I firmly believe it's a good title for woodworkers of all skill levels looking for a workbench design, I wouldn't hesitate to recommend it. I think it is worth the money, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah, I think if you're buying this, I wouldn't buy this necessarily to just add to your knowledge set of workbench building. If you're
right.
If that's like a hobby of yours, if you're like a Chris Schwarz type person and you just want to pursue all different types of benches, I don't know that it's necessarily like that type of a title, but if you want to build this bench, this is a must have. You've got to have this DVD.
Yep.
The plans are there, the drawings are there, the SketchUp is there, and then you get 40 some odd minutes, or what is it, 56 minutes? Yeah, 56 minutes of video instruction showing you the most of the important parts of the project. So I think it definitely does live up to it. The thing is, I think you and I, when it comes to pricing, I sort of lose touch with what the value, I don't want to say the value of a dollar. I mean, I'm very right. frugal with my money. But when it comes to the DVDs, I have trouble with this because to me, if I want to build this project specifically, I'm willing to pay quite a bit of money to get a good representation of how to build that project. So
yep.
what might seem like expensive for $19.99, when you think about that as getting a fully almost interactive project plan in your hands and everything you could possibly need is right there in your hands, compare that to what you would pay for, let's say, an old New Yankee Workshop episode and the measured drawings.
Right. Yeah, there you go.
You know, that type of thing can be pretty expensive. And then you're just getting a 30-minute edited TV show and one drawing. You know,
right.
So to me, $19.99, I think, is a good fair price to ask for this much information.
Right. The one way I kind of look at it also when it comes down to the information is that a lot of times, if I was to take a class with Bob and actually build this, say I was whatever week-long school I was at, typically the amount of information I'm going to find in this DVD is going to be more than I would actually have in my notes that I would end up taking at the class. Because I know myself, anytime I have taken a class, whether how no matter how long it is, by the time I walk away, I've got these notes that I have no idea what they actually mean. I have the experience in my mind, but at some point it's going to go away. And to be honest with you, this DVD, it's the amount of information that I have in there is going to be far more than I would ever end up bringing away myself from, mm-hmm. from a type of class. So that's one way I kind of look at it is, you know, I'm getting all the information I need and I have something I can return to over and over again. So yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. So does it keep its promise? Everything it says on the back of the DVD, does it, I'm going to say wholeheartedly, yes. I mean, it really, right on the back of the DVD at the top, it says everything you need. And it really is. I mean, you could certainly build this bench with all the information packed into this DVD.
Exactly. And like I said, that's one thing I always look for is, can I walk away from this DVD and build this bench? Absolutely. I 100% believe it does keep its promise.
Okay. Well, before we get into our final summary, I guess let's do our own personal sort of summary of it to say, this is where this replaces the grape soda rating system.
Okay. That sounds good.
Yeah. I'm going to say overall, if like I said about, if you're a workbench, you know, collector in a sense where you want to learn everything about all different types of workbenches, this may be one to you might want to add it to your collection if you just want to know how to build this bench. You know, there's not a lot of just general bench building theory in it necessarily. It is purely focused on this project. So that's how you have to decide whether you want this to be in your library. Certainly good for anybody who is looking to build this particular bench. I'm kind of repeating myself here.
We're good at that though.
Yeah. This is one that I think I would want in my collection, in my library, list of library titles. I just like the split top concept. And I think the Rubo, for instance, the split top Rubo may not be for everybody. So if somebody wants to use, you know, less expensive vices than, for instance, the Benchcrafted version that I'm using, those are really expensive. He uses a quick release vice as a tail vice. That's nice to be able to see. So for me personally, this is a library title for me because I think I want to reference this in the future to be able to help other people who are looking to build a more practical workbench.
Right. I don't know if I can really add too much more to that other than the fact that I think this is one of those that when it comes to the overall design of the bench, I think it's well thought out. And as the viewer will see when they're watching it, it's easy to replicate. And I think that's something that's really, really important. Yeah. If you have something that it's definitely, you've really got to sit down and just plan out for days and days how you're going to accomplish it. And what are you going to end up doing with it in the end? How is it going to make your woodworking that much of a better experience? I think at that point, if you've got to think that hard about it, then maybe you might want to think some more about whether you even want to follow through on it.
Yeah.
And I think the way that this is presented, it's really easy. I wouldn't mind having this bench, to be quite honest with you. Mm-hmm. I know there are some things, as you mentioned, with the split top. A lot of instructors, especially at Woodworking in America, this bench was there. There were some instructors that were using it, and they weren't happy at all with the split top. But at the same time, I don't have an issue with it whatsoever. I think I could easily incorporate this into the type of woodworking that I normally will be doing and how I end up working on my bench anyways.
Yeah.
So really when it comes down to it, I think this is a really great title. The idea of adding it just simply to have it in my library, I don't know if I would go that far. This is definitely something that if I know that this is the style of workbench I want or in the realm of the style of workbench I want. Exactly. This is one of those that I could easily have in the library. I could come back and say, you know, I may not want this particular aspect of it, but let me see what Bob does with this. And can I either improve it? So, or not necessarily improve it. Can I alter it enough for the bench style that I want? Or is it maybe something that I'm not thinking about that would actually improve the bench that I want? So mm-hmm. I think that that's something that easily you could put into whatever your need to get the DVD or your need for the workbench that you're going to use.
Sure. All right. Well, I'll jump into the summary here just to kind of wrap it all up. Bob Lang shows us how to build his 21st century workbench, a sturdy and practical design that should suit just about any woodworking style. The bench can be knocked down and employs wedged dovetail joints to hold everything together. Bob confidently guides us through his building process at a reasonable pace. Unfortunately, there are a few significant details left out of the demonstrations where a shortcut is taken by showing the finished product and simply stating what was done. However, this is counterbalanced by a nice package of DVD-ROM extras, including PDF plans, a SketchUp plan, and slideshows. A guest appearance by Chris Schwarz was a nice surprise. I forgot to put the word surprise in there.
It was nice to see Chris. He's a nice guy.
You're so nice, Chris. It was a nice surprise, and a subsequent Vice discussion was definitely welcome. But the time spent on this extra might have been better spent on elaborating on more project details. Given the total package, though, just about anyone should be able to build this bench successfully with this DVD. All right, so that sums it up. I think we're done with this one. We'll pinch it off, and next time we're going to be talking about a Chris Schwarz title, and this will probably close out our workbench-focused series that we've done for like the last four or six reviews or however many we've done it.
Exactly. For the past year. Oh, wait, no, not.
Yeah, the workbench is the next title we'll be doing, so we'll catch you then.
See ya.